action on DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Just download the app. Use promo code VSiN when you sign up to compete for cash prizes each week. Sign up now. New customers get a deposit bonus up to $500. Code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings.com for details. Awesome.
All right, so tonight, huge card in the NHL. It's the final big card in the regular season.
And everything's screwy this week.
It really is.
With the COVID, yes, because we got games. There's like two games tomorrow. There's a couple Wednesday. Colorado plays Thursday. Could decide the division if they win tonight. The Vegas game out here. I can't believe this. At DraftKings, Colorado's favored. Vegas is on this great winning streak at home.
Mm-hmm.
There's 8,000 people in the building now. They're on fire.
They're 14-2 with their last 16 games.
Yep. They're 390 to win the division here at Circa. Colorado's playing all these road games. It was a struggle against L.A. They lost the game to San Jose, which I couldn't believe. And the thing that does concern me, because I want to bet Vegas, is it might be Leonard. It's the biggest game of the season. You have to play Fleury if I'm VGK. You lock up the division. You try to get the number one overall seed, most points. You play Fleury tonight. That's what you have to do. But they've been so good here at home and the run that they're on. The one game they lost, they gave away. They're up two goals in with 10 minutes left.
That's right.
They got beat and lost in regulation. And this thing would have been over. Because then Colorado was down two goals with 10 minutes left and actually came back to win that game.
Well, I'd still like to know what happens in this division if the Avalanche don't get hit with the COVID at that time.
Yeah, right? It's been the same coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But it's supposed to be Grubauer as well. And that's your big Blade game. I like the Kings plus money. It's screwy now. This is the final, game or two, final couple days of the season. St. Louis is locked into the four seed. The Kings are 5-2 against them this year, and they're at home in plus money.
Yep.
I also love the Blackhawks, plus $1.30. It's not the be-all, end-all, but I still think that's something to play for, that the Blackhawks can get the 500 with a win. Even better, the price. They're 5-2 against Dallas, and Dallas is eliminated. Chicago just beat them, and Dallas goes from the Stanley Cup to out of the playoffs, and they know it. What's their motivation? $1.50. Crazy. I'll take the Blackhawks. I don't care who's playing. In goal.
And you were also saying that you were reading the right things coming out of Tampa Bay.
Well, how important the two seed is in home ice. But Florida's been great.
Right now here at Circa, Florida's $1.24 in the game.
Yeah.
Lightning plus +114. Now, Florida's been one of the best stories in the NHL the entire year.
9-2 last 11. The two seed with a win. Correct. Tampa has to win in regulation to get the two seed. They have to win in regulation. 8-1-2 overrun for Florida. But I would trust the history here and go with Tampa, even though Florida's been a good story. Montreal needs 1 point. Edmonton's on a 5-0 road record run. Edmonton's played six straight goal in the first 10's cash with Edmonton. And Boston, Tampa, and Nashville comes down to tonight for the win total. Boston still has a game left. But the Boston Islander game's in. Who wants the three seed there? Does Boston want to play Washington, or they want to play... How are they going to treat it?
You want to take
they've done 7 of 8 at home, though. And after losing 6 in a row to the Islanders, they beat them 2 in a row.
Want to take a shot on the Canucks, almost plus +150?
What's going on with the Jet? They've lost 8 of 9.
So Major League Baseball, an MVP question for Derek Carty coming up next.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
The Boston Red Sox have won 4 consecutive games. They have the best record of the American League East at 22-13. They're 12-4 on the road. They visit Baltimore today. Red Sox laying $1.41, Baltimore plus +131, 9.5 under the total at Camden Yards. Jeff Hoffman for the Reds laying $1.35 at Mitch Keller and the Pirates plus +125, 8 over the total at PNC Park. Pirates negative -30 run differential, the worst of the National League. The Indiana Pacers are a 6-point road favorite of the Cleveland Cavaliers today. The Cavaliers have dropped 10 straight, 229.5 the total. VSiN gives you the tools to increase your sports betting IQ and make the most of every bet, including our 24/7 video coverage, odds and analysis for every game, our daily members-only best bets email, and in-depth coverage each week in Point Spread Weekly. Now's the time to sign up for your 10-day free trial, vsin.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Senna.
Get the latest VSiN odds at vsin.com. And remember, cash and tickets is what it's all about.
It's time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
Welcome into the program. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Polly Howard live today, Circa Resort and Casino, back from vacation in downtown Las Vegas. Good to be back. As we kick off this hour talking a little Major League Baseball, Derek Carty joins the program, Sabermetrics guy, creator of the Bats and the Blitz projections with Roto Grinders as well. Derek, good to talk to you again today. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yep. Wanted to ask you, first of all, an MVP question potentially in the American League. Excuse me. And that is, if Ohtani keeps this up, and I know that he's been walking a lot of guys when he's on the mound, but if he keeps this up where he's, you know, effective, they can use him like once a week, maybe as a starting pitcher, and his bat keeps, you know, being as good as it has been so far in the first 6 weeks of the season, even on a last place team, potentially with the Angels, do you think voters would recognize him as the American League MVP?
It's tough to say because I think he would deserve it. You know, he's a top 20 hitter and a top 20 pitcher, even with the walks. Like, he is really, really good. But we've seen in the past with voters that they've been reluctant to give it to Mike Trout, you know, because he plays for the Angels when he has deserved the MVP. And they've been reluctant to give it to him so many times. And so I'd like to think that, you know, they would make the right choice and give it to Ohtani if he is deserving of it at the end of the year. But there are a lot of these old school voters that just, they care about the team wins and the, you know, just the old school nonsense that shouldn't have anything to do with a player's actual value.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you. I have him on an MVP ticket. I know a lot of people here at the network have Ohtani to win the MVP in the American League. I mean, if he pitches, you know, if he stays relatively healthy, you know, and he pitches like, let's say, what, 25 games? I'm trying to be conservative here, maybe 28 games if that's possible, and puts up really good numbers. Like, if they win 75 games, and I know there are a lot of other guys in the American League that are going to put up huge numbers at the plate, how do you actually go and fill out your ballot and say, I can't give it to Ohtani? At that point, he would have to win the award, I would think.
I would have to think so, too. You know, again, though, the voters don't always vote in the most logical fashion, let's say. But, you know, if he's throwing 25 games and he's on, you know, close to a home run pace on the hitting side as well, like, I'm with you. I have a hard time not seeing them not give it to him. I think the thing that works the most in his favor, even if he's on a bad team, is just the novelty of it. You know, I could see voters just thinking, okay, he's been great on both sides of the ball. He's a lot of fun. Even though the Angels didn't win, like, when have we had a chance to vote a guy like this before? So I think more than anything, that kind of works in his favor.
You had an excellent rundown and breakdown before the season on what are we going to get out of Toronto home games. Mm-hmm. Has it lived up to the hype so far with these high scoring home games?
Yeah, it really has. You know, this park in Florida has been pretty much every bit as hitter friendly as expected. The relative weather boost there, even though, you know, it's not midsummer where, you know, it's going to be 90 degrees in Florida, when it's, you know, 30, 40, 50 degrees in a lot of other places and it's 70 in Toronto, that still makes a big relative difference. And so between the park and the weather, this has been a really good hitting environment so far. It's going to be kind of sad to see them leave for Buffalo in a couple weeks.
Yeah, no kidding. So how about the Dodgers now? 13-2 to begin the season. And all of a sudden, they're a game above 500. And you know, when they were running really hot, Derek, we were saying this team is probably injury-proof. They're going to be, you know, they were on pace to win, like, a, you know, break the Mariners' record of 116 wins. They might win 120, get out of the way. It's going to be one of the best teams of all time. Well, it turns out that maybe they're not injury-proof because they've had a lot of them so far, and they're not surviving right now in this long skid. Like, I think we're all anticipating, like, this turnaround to come at some point. Is that just going to happen? Like, did they flip a switch here, suddenly start winning games? Like, what's going to take place here with the Dodgers?
Yeah, it's going to happen. I don't think that we should be concerned about them. You know, they haven't been as injury proof as we've kind of maybe expected. I think they've made some interesting choices with pitching. You know, they have some of this great pitching depth, and they kind of haven't, I don't think, leveraged it as well as they could be. Obviously, they've had plenty of injuries on the hitting side with Mookie missing some time and Bellinger being out for a while and everything else. But this is still the best team in baseball. This is still a team that projects for a 100-win pace over a 162-game season. And yeah, they're, you know, a little behind now. You know, they haven't gotten out to the big lead that we kind of anticipated them getting to. But they're still easily the best team in baseball. They're going to be completely fine, especially once they get healthy. But even before then, I think we should still expect a little bit of better performance than we've gotten out of them so far.
Okay, so your numbers are still saying right now that they're on, you know, they're probably going to win 100 games.
I don't know if they'll quite get to 100 games because they're a little behind, but like if the season were starting over right now, we're going to play another 162 games, I'd have them projected for just under 100 wins.
Oh, copy that. Okay, gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Derek Carty is our guest. Who's the best team in the National League Central per your numbers and how it projects right now? I know the Brewers, I mean, Burns going down obviously doesn't help that rotation at all, but they haven't been able to hit. And, you know, just here we go again with the Cardinals, another year, and look out because they're going to be a contender again the way it appears.
Yeah, I'm still kind of down on the Cardinals.
Are you?
I think they're overperforming a little bit. Like, I would much prefer Milwaukee or Cincinnati here. I have them both projected as better teams than the Cardinals. Part of that is, you know, kind of the expectation that a guy like Christian Yelich will come back healthy eventually. You know, the Brewers have been dealing with a lot of injuries themselves. But I do think that St. Louis is overperforming a bit here.
I've heard a lot of people freaking out about Luis Castillo. Numbers are not good at all this year. The velocity might be down a tick as well. Do you see him coming back to the form that we've seen him in recent years, or does this continue?
Yeah, I think a lot of what we're seeing with Luis Castillo is just bad luck. And yes, he's not exactly, you know, the same guy that he used to be. The velocity is down a little bit, but it's been back up lately. You know, a lot of that was just the first couple games of the year. It was like way down. You know, he's not performing at the level we're expecting him to, but he's still getting very unlucky, and he still has this great history. He still has this really good stuff, even if the velocity is down a little bit. You know, you look at his ERA and it's like close to 7 or something crazy.
Yeah.
But you look at his, you know, his xFIP and his, you know, peripheral type numbers, it's significantly below that. It's like 4. And when you factor in his history, you know, this is a guy who going forward, I think we should expect to be, you know, a high 3s ERA type of guy, which is still really, really good. So I have no issues with Castillo. I think they have a lot of pitching depth beyond him. I think there's a lot of, as much as we see Castillo kind of losing stuff, a few of their other pitchers have really gained stuff. I think there's a lot of hidden gems in this pitching for the Reds.
How about the NL East? The Braves are plus 175 to win the division. They're a game and a half back. I'm sure you don't trust the Phillies bullpen and what they're up to, and maybe not too much cause for concern with DeGrom, what happened yesterday. But what do you think of the NL East?
Yeah, I think it is clearly the Mets and the Braves at the top. I don't think the odds on either of them are especially appealing. I like the odds on the Phillies a little more at the start of the year than I did now, but 4-1 right now for the Phillies. I still think this is a better team than people credit them for, than the odds credit them for. I think the Phillies are, you know, I think they're a pretty solid team. I do. And you know, they've been good this year, but I still feel like people are shortchanging them a little bit for some reason, and they're not even completely healthy right now. So I think the odds on the Phillies are the best in this division.
Any other division prices stick out to you across baseball?
Yeah, there were a couple that stuck out to me. The Angels right now, obviously we talked about it with Ohtani, you know, they're last in the division right now, but they don't project that much worse than the Astros. My projection system, the bat, hasn't projected as the second best team in the division after the Astros over a full 162 games, less than one win separating them.
Okay.
They have some ground to make up. For sure they have some ground to make up, and that's going to go into the price. It's going to go into the decision you're going to make. But the odds on them are still, I think, given how good they are, 6.5 to 1 I'm seeing, those are good odds. I would take the odds on them, and I would take the odds on the Indians in the Central.
Indians, okay. All right. So how about some other pitchers that you might be expecting some regression from, either positive or, you know, negatively speaking? I brought up Castillo. A guy that I can think of potentially goes today in Kyle Gibson, who has been this revelation for the Rangers. He's been outstanding since that opening day start where he couldn't even get out of the first inning against the Royals and they blew him up. But awesome since then. Like, how do you project Gibson moving forward?
Yeah, so let me pull up Gibson real quick. Yeah, 2.4 ERA right now. Gibson's a guy who I think we have to expect some negative regression from, just because, you know, 2.4 ERA is Jacob DeGrom territory. There's nobody that does that. Gibson is a perfectly solid pitcher. You know, he's a guy who's going to finish with an ERA in the, you know, the low to mid fours, but it's not like he's doing anything fundamentally different this year to be pitching as well as he is. You know, there's no stark changes to his pitch mix really outside of the addition of a cutter. You know, there's no changes to his velocity. I don't foresee Gibson really being, you know, anything different than what we've expected him to be over the last couple seasons, which is a perfectly serviceable, you know, number three, you know, low end, maybe number two starter. And that's kind of who Gibson is.
Just having one of the best runs of his life actually right now. Anything stick out to you today? K props or any games individually that you like?
Yes, we have a short slate today. There's not a whole lot of games. A couple of the games we don't have lines yet for because pitchers haven't been announced. I think the under in Colorado looks interesting enough. I don't think it's at every book yet, but where I've seen it at 10 runs. And I think between the weather there, it's really cold. It's like 40 degrees. We have Senzatella, who I think is a little bit of an underrated pitcher. And we have Denelson Lamet pitching. We don't know what his leash is going to be. I think that's maybe why some of the books haven't put the lines up, at least when I looked. But even if he doesn't go super deep, he has an elite bullpen behind him. So I think the under in Colorado looks kind of interesting. And Alex Wood's K-prop is the one that really sticks out to me. I haven't projected, at least right now, at close to 7 strikeouts. And last I looked, it was 5.5 at like -110 or something like that. So I think that's probably the best bet of the day that I can tell.
Wood over on the K-props. Very good. Yeah, I was going to... The Lamet thing's tricky. I mean, so far, 2 starts, 2 innings in both starts, like, what, 30 pitches, I think, in one, 29 in the other. And it's like, okay, are you going to continue doing this for another start? Are you going to give him maybe like 4 or 5 innings potentially today in Colorado? I don't know how they're going to play this
one. And they haven't given us any indication. I think the quote that I saw was like, we're just going to see how he looks. And it's going to depend on the weather because it's going to be a little rainy too. So like you really have no idea what we're getting out of Lamet today.
You can follow Derek on Twitter. He is at Derek Cardi. Fun talking to you again, Derek. Thanks so much for the time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yep, you got it.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's weird with Lamet. It really is. How they've been playing that one really tight and basically saying nothing about it again today. Had a good tweet on him. I wanted to get to that if I could find it here.
Yeah, Steele 5-1 of the over. Haney 5-1 of the over. Shoemaker 5-1 of the over. Hendricks 6-1 of the over. Chevalier 6-1 of the over. Kluber, Irvin, Anderson 6-1 of the under. Covers has him 6-1 of the under. I have him 6-0 of the under.
Yeah.
Duffy 5-1 of the under.
Duffy, great story so far. Here's the tweet. AJ Cassavell, who covers the Padres. This is Lamet's last start. 2 scoreless, and it looks like his night is done. This time, the early exit is planned. Yeah. He wasn't anywhere close to his sharpest tonight, and his fastball velocity was all over the map. But he appears to be healthy. The Padres like that. Does that sound like a guy that you want to bet on?
Yeah, good point.
In the next start? I mean, you know, at some point, he is going to go 4 or 5 innings. Maybe that day is today against Colorado. I don't know. Again, it's 40 degrees. I think they were expecting some snow up there today. But that could be another, you know, I don't know. I don't want to rush to the window and lay a number. What are they laying? $1.82 today? I would have to avoid that one. I need to see a little bit more from that guy first.
In the Senzatella trend, that they're 8-1 last night at home with him when they're going against teams with a winning record. I'm still waiting for the Padre. Come on. What are they? They're a game over 500 too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's lost 2 out of 3. How's San Francisco doing this? What a story.
It's a really good story.
And I'm waiting for the Padres to take off. They've been a disappointment.
So I was watching some of the Giants broadcasts yesterday. Somebody brought up a good point that said the key so far has been, and who knows if it's going to continue out for the entire year, but they're not really relying on like any 23-year-olds in the starting rotation. They signed a bunch of like journeymen and some veterans to like 1-year deals. So they kind of know it. Like, they're not going to be there for the long haul. They're coming there, and they're just so far. The guy, like, Gossman's been terrific.
Yep.
Derek just had a good breakdown on Wood, how he likes his... Alex Wood has been very good so far in the year. And they have a bunch of guys like that that they've plugged in. They needed the help in the short term, and it's been working. They're also making the case, like... Who was saying this? I forget who now, but the Giants will absolutely go after one of these free agent shortstops in the offseason. Like, they're going to be done with Brandon Crawford. I can't believe he's been there for 12 years already, but... Oh, I know. I heard another amazing stat. This is driving around on Saturday. A.J. Pollock got hurt over the weekend. AJ Pollock. Now it's May right now. AJ Pollock has not played a game in June since 2015.
What?
Any game in the month of June since 2015. He's never played in the calendar month with his injury history.
It's impossible.
That's one of the most incredible.
It is.
Yeah. I could not believe when I was driving around and I heard that. It's like, wait a second. What? That can't. How? That tells you how fragile. Like every month, he's like, okay, or every year.
Right.
All right. Here's my 5-week vacation now coming up. Good luck to the rest of the guys in the team, but I'm going to go pull a hammy now. And I'll be out for 6 to 8 weeks.
Boston number one in ROI, Texas number two, Giants third, Seattle, then Oakland. And Oakland after that bad start as well.
Yeah.
And the Twins still at the bottom. Yikes.
All right, follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Email is ftm@vsin.com, ftm@vsin.com. At VSiN Live on Twitter, by the way. That's where you can find that picture of Floyd Mayweather from over the week, last week. We tweeted that out earlier today. Doesn't look anything like him. Paulie will run down, win some, lose some, coming up next.
Stakes time at First Bet's the best place to start your betting action with analysis and wagering on every race. First Bet's the easiest way to bet on your favorite sports. Secure payments, great customer service, reliable website, all brought to you by ExpressBet. And to get you ready for the Preakness, First Bet's giving $20 in free bets for all new users who sign up now through May 15th. The promo code is Vegas20. Everyone who redeems the $20 free bet offer will receive full access to the Visa subscription products for free now through the Belmont. VSiN.com/horses for details. Promo code Vegas20. We'll push win-lose back with in pocket in the final segment. The NBA card, we've seen movement too here. Atlanta opened 6.5 up to 7.5 at DraftKings. Beal is out for Washington. Huge game tonight and also Wednesday. At DraftKings, Atlanta's $6 to win the division. They're tied with four left, but that shows you what the
they're schedule. $6.
Yeah, and they're even with Miami. That shows you what the schedule disparity is.
By the way, that total tonight's 236.5. There's no Beal.
Yeah. Portland opened 13.5. They're up to 15 against Houston. Look at these totals. 231, 237, 228, 233, 227, 238. Utah opened 2.5 up to 3 at Golden State. Big game. Utah pretty much lock up the one seed with a win. And Golden State trying to get at in that 8 range for the play-in game and the run Curry's been on. Coach of the year, Monty Williams, $3. Tibbs, 2-1. Ball, I can't, I'm with you. Ball is $7 to win.
Doesn't make any sense.
No, doesn't.
I think there's a very good chance Anthony Edwards actually wins the award.
It's been great.
Yeah, he's been absolutely fantastic. And as David Thorpe said earlier, like, let's not forget that Ball missed a lot of games.
Yep.
I'll give you another one, too. And I don't see this anywhere. I don't know if you can bet on this or not. If you can, I'd love to see the odds on players to make All-NBA first team. Paul, like, who do you leave off the list this year? All-NBA first team. Right, it's going to be Joker, Embiid, Curry, for sure, all NBA first team. Then what? Just go positionless here for a second. Like, Westbrook has a great chance. Chris Paul probably should be on first team. But then, is Giannis not going to make first team this year? Does Julius Randle now make first team this year?
He's 5,000 to win most improved.
God. Yeah.
There was a guy who asked to take the cash out when he was $1.20. He said, oh, God, oh, go ahead, lock it in. Oh, my God. Washington, they were 17-32. They've won 15 of 18. It's unfortunate no Beal tonight, but during that stretch, the three losses, Phoenix, San Antonio in overtime, and at Milwaukee by one.
Amazing.
What a turnaround in what Westbrook is doing. Then the flip side, you got OKC. They were housed again last night. They've been outscored by 490 points in their last 25 games, most since the 92-93 Mavs. They had 20 wins at the end of March. They've lost 21 to 22. They have to win out to go over their win total.
Yeah. I thought the 49ers, the year they traded for Garoppolo, because I had the Niners over that year, I thought winning that one was like the luckiest thing. Or, you know, if you had the under and you lost, that's one of the all-timers, because they were beating good teams and they put them in the lineup because they had to, because other quarterbacks were injured. This Oklahoma City beat takes the cake. I think this year, if you had the over...
I mean, what were the numbers? Yeah. They just had to go 4-25 or something? 4-25
right.
On the stretch.
And they just said, no, we're good. We're going to tap out on the season.
You want to lay six with the Pacers? Check the status of some of the Pacers, but Cleveland's let go of the rope.
Yeah,
lost 10 in a row. The last 30th in offense. They just got run out twice by Dallas. They've lost six in a row at home. Cleveland's been phoning it in.
Mm-hmm.
And New Orleans is 2-0 against Memphis. Well, you got guys out, but Memphis laying 9.5. And it's a back-to-back, too. New Orleans 2 behind San Antonio for the 10th seed.
Well, I need to check lineups here later on in the day. Spurs plus 7 looks attractive to me against the Bucks. Laying these big numbers, you know, putting away average to below average teams.
I just don't understand.
Not exactly their specialty this year.
I don't understand the thought process with these teams in the East, where they don't care about the 1, 2, or the 3. What the Nets are doing. And here, the door's open for Milwaukee to get the 2.
You know,
the fans will be... I still want home court. I don't care how many fans are there. I still want home court if I'm thinking on the Nets.
You know, the Bucks could have been the 1 seed again this year. They punted on
a ton
of games.
They did.
There was that one game against the Knicks that comes to mind. They opened up like 9-point favorites. They went off as 2-point dogs because as the news came out, like they were sitting everybody and they were bringing guys up from like the G League to play in that game.
Here's why Atlanta's $6. Washington at home. Orlando at home. Houston at home. And you're probably going to get 2 games without Beeble.
Yeah.
Well, if they can't win, you can't get 3-1.
Yeah, I know.
And I think they have the tiebreak.
What are they going to be? If they need the game against Houston to win the division, are they laying?
What are they against Orlando?
I know.
That's another one.
Oh, my God. Jay Croucher is going to join the program from PointsBet coming up next. I got to ask him about the handle in the Canelo fight over the weekend. Hopefully, it was better than the Paul Aspen fight a couple of weeks back. Back it is. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, along with Paulie Howard. Mondays at this time, Jay Croucher joins the program, Director of Trading with PointsBet Sportsbooks. Jay, good to see you again today. How are you?
Hey, Mitch. Doing well. Plenty happened over the weekend, so looking forward to getting stuck into it.
Absolutely. Let's begin with the boxing match that we had featuring Canelo Alvarez on Saturday night. Jerry's World, actually. Strong crowd. What was it? 70,000 plus. Good to see that, you know, people, you know, at a big sporting event like that. Please tell me that the handle for that fight was better than the boxing match between Paul and Askren that we had a couple of weeks back.
Yeah, unfortunately, Mitch, not even close, which is a pretty depressing thing and a poor reflection on the state of society. But Paul and Askren outdid it. There's a lot of action on Canelo, but it didn't stack up to Paul Askren, unfortunately.
I'm guessing because Canelo was such a big favorite, but still, I mean, what? I don't know. That's baffling to me. Is it a better betting opportunity for Paul against Askren than? You could have gotten plus money via KO with Canelo.
Yeah, that's the tough thing is that, you know, when he was, I think he went off a -770 favorite. So a lot of people were putting him into multis or parlays, as we say in America. But yeah, I think that the balance of how it more evenly matched or perceived to be that Paul Askren was, that probably attracted more handle. Most of our handle on Canelo came in by Canelo by decision. So that's where people were looking. But yeah, unfortunately, didn't stack up to Jake Paul.
What are you going to do in Colorado here with the Broncos? How are you going to treat this? And what's the adjustment if Rodgers goes to Denver?
Yeah, so he was, the Broncos were 60-1 before the Rodgers rumors really started swirling on draft day. They're now into 22-1. I think the interesting thing is, yeah, if he does go there, if that is finalized, then what happens to them? My thought is that they instantly become third favorites for the Super Bowl behind KC and Tampa, and then probably just in front of the Buffaloes, the Baltimores, the Clevelands of the world. I know that the streets of Denver are certainly trying to will it into existence at the moment.
Yeah, because you live there, actually. So, I mean, that's probably the only thing that you're hearing in that town right now, right? Is Rodgers actually going to go there?
Exactly. They've even seen some custom-made Broncos, Rodgers jerseys around downtown Denver. So, I mean, just with the quarterback situation, how it's been here with, you know, the Trevor Siemians, the Drew Locks, to get Aaron Rodgers, it would really kind of re-enliven when Peyton Manning first came here. And was, you know, putting up record numbers. And the rest of that Broncos roster is just completely stacked. So they immediately go right into the mix to win the division and take down Mahomes and then to go all the way as well.
Wow. So just to confirm, you said it would go maybe number three then in the pecking order. It'd be Chiefs, Buccaneers, Broncos all the way up to number three, huh?
I think so. I think it depends what they give up. But if it's going to be mainly concentrated around draft picks, I think when you look at that defense, when you look at some of the weapons that Rodgers would have, an improving offensive line, the division is tough. That's what makes it more complicated, is that I think they'd still be dogs to the Chiefs in the division. But yeah, I think in terms of talent and upside, it's only Kansas City and Tampa who I think would be clearly in front of them.
Have you guys adjusted the Lakers' odds in the last, you know, week to 10 days, maybe a couple of weeks? I know they got the win last night, but and Davis was great. He had like 42, but he's missed a ton of time, obviously. But now, like LeBron going back on the shelf?
Yeah, so they're up to plus 500 for the title now, which is tied with the Clippers. So that's the longest the Lakers have been all season. And I think that, you know, as dangerous as the play-in game is for them, and it looks like they'll probably end up in seven and have to go through that, it's more just about the health situation. With LeBron still, even when he came back, he didn't look right. Schroeder out, will he be back for the play-in? Not too sure. I think the good thing for them is that Davis looks like himself and looks healthy, which is vital. And, you know, if they do fall into the play-in mix, it's not the end of the world. But at the same time, they don't want to be facing Stephen Curry in a do-or-die play-in game, which is the worst-case scenario for them.
Yeah, no kidding. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Jay Croucher with PointsBet is our guest. How about the movement that you guys maybe did to the PGA Championship, which, by the way, we get in a couple of weeks now all of a sudden, after Rory took home the Wells Fargo this weekend?
Yeah, so Rory McIlroy is now favorite for that at plus 1,000. It's been kind of a year and a half of people backing Rory at pre-match prices and then, you know, not seeing what they want to see. And it was the same over the weekend where pre-match, we didn't take that much activity on Rory. I think people are so burned by having been backing him the past year and a half, not being rewarded. But then as soon as he made his run, all the in-play, all the live handle came for Rory when he was, you know, plus 120, minus 150. That was all coming in. It's the same with when Brooks Koepka makes a run. People just buy in immediately. And the people who bought in on Rory would be pretty happy over the weekend.
Yep, same thing happened with Spieth leading up to the Masters when he was red hot pretty much in all of those tournaments. Last thing for you today, Jay, I always find this fascinating, the decision to pay out early on a bet, which is exactly what PointsBet did to residents of Colorado who bet at PointsBet for Nikola Jokic to win the MVP. Take us through that decision.
Yeah, so we paid out all Colorado bettors who bet on Jokic before Saturday to win MVP. We're just settling those as winners regardless of what happens. There's a couple of things there. One, you know, with the hometown sportsbook in Denver, and we want to protect bettors against, you know, if voters do descend into madness and go elsewhere than Jokic, who I think is the clear deserving winner. Seeing a lot of chatter around Chris Paul for MVP. Mitch, Chris Paul is averaging 16 points a game. That's less than what RJ Barrett averages. So no disrespect to RJ, no disrespect to Chris, but I don't think Chris Paul is the MVP. And so we wanted to just protect Colorado bettors against that. And then also with Jokic being so short now, and we do expect that he will win, we just want to get that money into the accounts of bettors just as soon as possible, given that, you know, I don't think the awards night has even finalized the date yet. So just wanted to pay that out early for Colorado bettors.
That's great.
That's very cool.
It is a long wait. You're right.
Yep.
That's awesome.
And you know why? Because I Googled this over the weekend. Like, when are we going to get the NBA awards show? There's nothing out there. Like, we have no idea when they're going to actually announce this. So people who bet on the MVP, like, unless you bet at PointsBet and live in Colorado, we have to wait to maybe potentially the end of, like, June to find out what's going to happen. So instead, bet it at PointsBet in Colorado. All of a sudden, bam, there's your money in your account if you bet on the Joker. Jay, great talking to you as always. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks, Mitch. Thanks, Paulie.
You got it.
Not even close with the betting handle.
Sad state of affairs. He's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Boy. My God. 70,000 at the Canelo fight. My God. UFC. What'd you think of the UFC?
Well, you said earlier that...
Well, weigh-in shenanigans.
Call it.
But two guys missed weigh-ins. The other guy took them at the hospital.
Yeah, I know.
Well, what's the analogy there? You can't make weight? What the hell are you doing? Try a salad. Christ. What? How can the three people miss weight?
You know, Lou's really good on this. Lou Finicaro. I believe that he considers it just blatant cheating.
Well, okay.
Is what you're right. doing.
Yeah. No, so. But these people, I think, yeah, okay. The one guy passed out. But
I saw yeah, that. I see. I saw that, yep. Yeah. Paulie will run down Bad Beats line moves with win-lose. And then also In Pocket, what we're betting tonight coming up next.
Listen up, don't wait days for your winnings. Cash out instantly with BetRivers' new feature, Rush Pay. Get your cash when you want it at BetRivers Sportsbook, the industry leader with exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boost, and the most in-play betting options out there. There's always a $250 match bonus and one-time playthrough. BetRivers, your hometown book. Not valid in Iowa, but valid in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. It's PlaySugarHouse.com in Jersey. Time for win-lose.
Rough night?
Can't call it a bad beat. Definitely lose some.
Good night? How does it make you feel?
I absolutely hate them. I absolutely hate them.
Follow the Money Looks Back so we can learn for today.
Everything's an adventure.
In Win Some, Lose Some. Let the education commence.
To the bad beats. Man City, Chelsea under 2.5. Goal in the 92nd minute. Right in your ear. 2-1 final. Cavs, I have to mention, this was historic. We were on vacation. The Cavs were catching 12.5. They went to overtime and lost by 60. Outscored 20-4. Impossible. That's impossible.
It really is.
How can, I still can't get over that. Delaware.
What do you do if you have a nice ticket on the Cavaliers? Take the day off?
Week off.
Week off?
College football playoffs. Delaware, South Dakota State over 37.5. 27-3 at halftime. Two field goals in the second half. You lose. James Madison laying 1.5. Led by 3 touchdowns at halftime. Lost the game to Sam Houston State. Phillies in the under on Saturday. They led 3-1 in the bottom of the 9th. They led by 3 in the top of the 12th going into the bottom of the 12th. They lost 8-7. Yeah. So Phillies in under becomes Braves in over. How about last night? It's 4-1 in the first and stays under. What? Win some. Mitch and Matt Eumanns trashed to Tampa, 33-1. Beautiful. Bayern Munich, 9th straight Bundesliga title. Penguins win the East, 22-4-2 at home. Murano, 6-1 by knockout, 8-1 in round one, beat Cerrone. It's just free money betting against him.
Yeah, right? It really is.
De Lima, 6-1 by decision. Gillespie, 10-1 to win in round two. Harris, 4-1 to win in round one. Lose some. Sheffield United, with a couple matches left. 5 wins, 2 draws, 28 losses in the prep for 17 points.
17 overall points.
And how did this happen while we were on vacation? The Thunder lost at home to the Pacers, 152-95. They were down 67 in the game. 67 they were down at one point.
Well, they only lost by 57,
Yeah. At Pauly Does Vegas on Instagram. This guy, take me to the restaurant, will you? I want to come with. And he is just, they're blocking him. He wants out. The family's going to have dinner. And the dog wants to come. He's like, no, take me with you. And this goes on for about 2 minutes. He's like, at one point he's trying to bite the door. Look at him. Like, come on, let me, take me with you. No, you can't come with me.
Sorry, they pal. Got, not
you,
today.
Your head's going to get stuck. We got to shut the door on you. No, I want to come with. Oh, this one's tough. It's tough to watch. It's like, hey, trying to fight
me a bite.
Door. Come on, guys. Take me.
That one's tough.
And this was the biggest future ticket ever cashed in Nevada, and probably in most places. The anniversary was last week. 5 years ago, William Hill, a better put $10 on it. $10 on Leicester City to win the Prem, $25,000.
I guarantee that better said to himself or to friends, I should have put more on it.
Yeah, right.
Guarantee it.
Okay. I had a feeling. Lose some. Here we go. New leader in the clubhouse. This is from Carter. We got lights up, Christmas lights, May 7th. That's over the weekend. Yep, keep them coming. We're going strong. Let's go right through the year. And this, what kind of an animal does this? Apparently several. This was all over Twitter last week. Fontomba got in on the fun. We'll talk to him. Put all four of them up. Who goes to a Starbucks and orders this? There's over 20 items listed on what to make and put in my drink. Number one, what? It's not even coffee at that point. Number two, how do you remember all this stuff? Why would you ask someone to do it? And think about why you're holding up the line.
Yep.
Look at how long that list is of items about what to put in my pot. I cannot believe it.
You know what you know what they could always say? Sorry, I can't make that drink today.
20 items. How do you keep track of all this stuff? Who would want?
There should be
who arrives at this? When I need this. I need that.
There should be a big sign that says you get 3 items.
Yeah.
And then move on. It's like I saw somebody complaining. I retweeted this person over the weekend. She was complaining about how I don't get it. I'm at an ice cream store and they won't allow samples, but they're pulling ice cream out of the same buckets. And I actually said they're called sample abusers. And I tweeted out the video from Kirby Enthusiasm.
Right.
I'm totally okay for businesses never to give a sample.
That's right. I'll try that one.
And then if I do, you get one. If I'm in a good mood and we're not busy, you get two. If there's people in line, you get one maximum. Don't ask for more.
Amen.
That's it.
Yep. Amen.
People are just, you've seen the feed on airplanes now for years, right?
Yep.
And by the way, people take their sticks, that was good on the chocolate. Then they put their sticks, they'll throw them wherever they want. They don't go over and put them in the garbage.
Yeah. There you go. Win loose. Back at it. All right. In pocket. Good job by you, too. 33 and a 30-1 with the draft.
Yeah. Tonight, I'm on the Golden Knights. -108.
I love it if it's Flurry. I love it if it's Flurry. They might go Leonard tonight.
I like. I'm playing it. I already did.
They win the division. Yeah, they win. They get the division. They're going to get the one seed. Best record in hockey.
They're hot. They're 14-2. That's a small number here at home.
I have the numbers. It's 7 in a row at home. 21-4 in a row. And there's 8,000 people in the building. All right, I'll mess around tonight. Give out some futures. White Sox, my mistake. $1.45 to win the division at William Hill. -145. Braves.
I was going to say, if you can find +140 right now, where's that at?
Braves +175 to win the East. And I'll take the +130 with the Blackhawks. This number doesn't make any sense. They're 5-2 against them this year. They can get to 500 with a win. That's not the be-all, end-all. But they played them well. They just beat them. In Dallas, you're talking about going from the penthouse to the outhouse. They go from the Stanley Cup Finals to out of the playoffs and they're eliminated. I think you get a big effort out of the Blackhawks, and this is, pride sets in. Say, okay, let's get to 500. Why not? With a win. Plus, they've owned them this year.
That is a thing, right? Didn't that happen? Now, we were on vacation, so my memory might be a little sketchy here. Did that not happen the next game out for the Blues after they clinched a playoff spot? I think they were still playing the Golden Knights, whatever. But they were just completely listless, I think, in the first period. That's an angle. You clinch, we're in the playoffs, next game might be the next night.
Well, the clinch or you don't write.
Yeah.
That's the angle with Nashville tonight. Nashville wins, they clinch. Carolina can still get the one. A tricky handicap, though, with some of these games.
Here.
How does Boston approach it? More on that coming up in a second. All right, we're back. Let's go good, guys.
Start it off strong. You're pulling first?
Five of hearts. Here we go. Starting from behind. Five of hearts out of the gates.
Ooh. Daddy likey. That's a good way to start. Boy, I will take that.
Ace is on parade.
Ace of spades, yo. Good. I like it. What was your highlight of vacation?
I was playing blackjack here at Circa, and I was playing the bonus games. And they got the pair square game. I got I got pair square a bunch of times. And if it's suited, it's, I think it's 25 to 1. And it's in a pair square pairs 10 to 1. And there was another game they have.
Could they square a pair?
I was playing this game. I never played this bonus to before, the lucky bonus. If you get a 6, if you get a 6, 7, 8, it's your two cards against the dealer's face card up. It's 50 to 1 or 25 to 1. I hit that. I think it's 100 or 500 to 1 if it's suited.
That sounds about right.
And then I got three sevens. That was 50 to 1.
Yeah.
I got the pocket sevens, the dealer's first seven, which got me thinking because mine were suited as well. That was that game that guy won like the $200,000 on the strip. If you had, if your sevens, if it was.
The lucky, okay.
Lucky sevens.
It was
seven of diamonds. The dealer's card wasn't a seven. I'm like, my God, instead of 200 grand, I go, you know, but the dealer didn't have a seven. But I had that too, and that was 50 to one or something.
Busy here last week?
Oh my God, everywhere.
So I came down Wednesday.
I go out, one of the nights I'm here, I got a room across the street. The rooms here are unbelievable. I can't believe how good the rooms are. But I got a room across the street at the Golden Gate because they were packed here. It was 1 a.m, and I wanted to get some barbecue at the food truck out here. They were great. 20 deep.
Oh, sure.
20 deep, you can't move.
Was that Cinco de Mayo night?
Las Vegas is back. I can't remember.
Okay, because I came down here Cinco de Mayo weekend and Cinco de Mayo out here is, my God, it's humongous.
Cinco de Mayo was slow at a lot of places.
Oh, was it really?
On a Wednesday?
I was down here
Friday. The weekend was, you can't move out here now.
Okay, yeah, I was down here early on Cinco de Mayo. And then around the area or whatever. So it wasn't like the late night crowd or whatever. Like it was tough getting around, driving around. And this is probably 6:30 at night. I was like, Vegas is really making a huge comeback now. But you said Friday, Saturday too, huge.
Yeah. I was playing tables here. And it was, yeah, it's $25 minimum and you can't get on a table.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a strong sign.
Yeah. It was packed.
Man.
And then I went out, had a cocktail with Bill Addy at the pool as well. Oh, can you imagine the business they're doing out there?
Oh, this summer?
And I put in a word. I said, let's get Sydney on the air. Let's go. Let's get Sydney in studio.
Did you talk to her?
I did not, but I relayed a message. Said, the stories she must have of working on the strip and working it. So we know Steve Sear, and he used to work with Perry was her name. And she worked at, one of the Encore Beach, she was on the strip working at one of the, the stories she would have alone about the guys who would come in and drop $100,000 on bottle service. And it's like, okay, what do you want? Anything else you need? And they would want to play video games.
Yeah.
They would want to sit there and not talk to girls and spend all this money on alcohol and all this money on a booth and a cabana, and they want to play video games all day.
The stories that somebody...
Outside.
Someone like Sydney, who's, what, 23, 24 years old? She works here at Circa, has been at XS... for a while, whatever. I can't even imagine like how much money she's seen guys come here and drop to get a cabana. With the money, then gambling, whatever else.
Or just buy a $50,000.
It's completely no object. Yeah, sure, yeah. Whatever. Yeah, and some of the tips that she's probably seen.
Oh, home runs. Home run interview. Set it up.
Yep.
Set it up, Derek. Balls. Palm.
All right.
Be great.
Good to be back.
Good hockey card.
It's strong. Maybe some sleep.